Will the real you? I don't know. Maybe I'm digressing. So if the real you stepped out of your body, number one, your body would cease to be. It would die. But the real you would look somewhat similar to who you are right now. But you have to, what the church has to understand is that you have not been bought, adopted into a spiritual family to remain a natural person. You are born of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be another lesson, but you are born of the Holy Spirit. And you are first spiritual. Amen? So kind of what Adam did to us back in the garden was that he caused us to die spiritually before God. Right? Now watch this. It doesn't mean that his spirit ceased to be, which is how we think of death. He said, in the day that you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. And sure enough, they did die, but it wasn't in their physical body that they died, and it wasn't that their spirit ceased being whenever they ate the fruit. What happened was that there was a spiritual death or a spiritual disconnection from the King of spirits or from the Creator or from the Father. Amen? So now their spirit is still alive on the inside, but it's dead to God. It cannot be connected to God because now something has entered into that spirit that cannot be in the presence of God. And really, if I take the term and go there, is that whenever Adam did what he did, he created a wickedness to enter into his spirit, and his spirit, in some sense, became broken. And it was in that brokenness that God, in his holiness, could not allow that wickedness to dwell in his presence. So he had to put him out of the garden, or he had to separate himself from man, because had man come to him in that state, well, then there would have been an issue with God's holiness and man's unholiness. Amen? Now you have to understand that whenever Jesus came and he did what he did, he fixed all of that stuff. Amen? He fixed that brokenness. And whenever we stand in the body of Christ, we stand in his righteousness without a single fault and without a blemish. Amen? Colossians chapter 2 tells us. No, Colossians chapter 1 tells us that. So then I'm here before the Father without a single fault, created in his holiness. And the way that that happened was through the birth of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, I don't want to go there today, Lord. It's John chapter 3, and I really want to get there, but I want to wait because that's going to be another lesson, right? Because there's just something I want you to see today in the Scriptures. We're going to get to them here in just a moment. But realize with me is that whenever Jesus did what he did on the cross, he was raised from the dead. He spent some 40 days or so with the disciples and some other people, and he went away. And he says, there's someone coming after me. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit after me. And it's in that birth that we have been brought back into connection with the Father, whom we had lost that connection in Adam. Amen? So here's how you need to think of it. Spiritually speaking, everything that Adam did to us, Jesus corrected that. Spiritually speaking. Amen? Now, you still have a mind, have a soul that, If it's not been renewed to the Word of God, to think the way God wants you to think, you're still affected by what Adam did to you by the way you think. Amen? But your spirit is right with the Father. Amen? So the real challenge for the believer is not to somehow live this life of condemnation where they're trying to get this approval and acceptance of God by doing things that seem to be holy, but really they don't make you any more holier than this or that. You know, people will fast and people will do these great works and they'll do all this other stuff trying to get God to love them more whenever they don't realize that God loves you as much as you're ever going to love you, and he loved you whenever you were a sinner, when you were ungodly. When you was an enemy of the cross, God says, I love you. As just like that, what an amazing love that we have from the Father, that he would love us not when we were perfect, but when we were at our worst. Amen? Can I get a good amen? Amen. So the issue is not spiritually speaking. The issue is what's going on in your head. Amen? And I like to think of it this way, is that as a tripart being, spirit, soul, and body, that there's really three voices there. There's the voice of the spirit, the voice of your soul or how you think, and then there's the voice of the flesh. And God, being a spirit, if he wants to impact your life, he has to do it through spiritual means. Amen? So he approaches you from the Spirit so that through the relationship you have with him in the Spirit, he wants to gain access by your permission into your soul, which is the seat of authority in your life. Do you know that he's given you the authority to choose the life you want to live? And so he wants to impact that choice or that decision-making part of your life, but you have to give him permission to be there. So he fellowships with your spirit. He comes to you through the realm of the spirit to gain permission into your soul so that he can impact the way that you think. Let me just stop and ask you this. If he's going to impact the way that you think, how does he do that? What does he use to impact the way you think? Say it again. It's the Word of God. Amen? Because he knows that if he can get the right information to you, right information that you meditate on a little while, does what? It drops down into your spirit. And whenever it drops down into your spirit through the form of a revelation, then what happens is faith comes alive. And you're able to break out of chains that have held you down your whole life because now you're beginning to think a different way, or you're beginning to think the way God wants you to think. That's why I can say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whenever I begin to believe that I can do what God says I can do, praise God. Amen? But what the devil does is he fellowships with your flesh, right? He wants to fellowship with your flesh for the same purpose that God wants to fellowship with your spirit. He wants you to give him access into your soul the way that you think. And he wants to tie your thinking process to the passions and the lust of your flesh, so that you're making decisions to oppress your spirit so that you can feed your flesh. Whereas God fellowships with you in the spirit so that he can feed your soul so that you will crucify your flesh. Amen? If you want to know why you're struggling, you're probably leaning a little bit too far to the flesh side. Get over into the spirit of the thing and begin to live in the power of the Holy Ghost, praise God, and see some things happen in your life. Amen? And so we have to understand, church, glory to God. I'm fixing to get there, praise God. Come on, where did I say turn? 1 Thessalonians. All right. 1 Thessalonians. Go there with me this morning. I'm just going to give you some scriptures, give you some things to look at and meditate. And again, I'm not going to finish my lesson today, so I'm just going to get to a place and I'm going to stop. And y'all know how it is around here, right? So 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go to chapter 5. And I want to make a point about some of the things that I've read here first. Now understand this, that you are spiritual first. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're spiritual. All right, stop thinking of yourself as being a natural person. There's a spiritual component to your life of who you really are. Amen? Now you have the soul that's there as well, and you have the flesh that's there, but because you see the flesh doesn't mean that you are the flesh. You are in a body. You possess a soul, but you are a spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says in verse number 23, he says, now it's going to say this in the King James Version, and it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Everybody say holy. Now watch this. That means holy. That means to be complete, right? Sanctify you completely, and I pray God, your whole, what? Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. He's saying that you are really a tripart being. You are spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And he says that God will keep all of that whole if you live the way he wants you to live. Amen? He goes on in verse number 24 and he says this. And he says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Amen? So God is working in you to complete the work that he's begun in you, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Amen? Your body should not run your life. The dictates of the flesh should not run your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is the leading and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit that should have the leadership of who you are as a person. Amen? Now, watch this. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go over there really quickly. Now, you got your phones or whatever you're using to get to the scriptures, but 1 Peter chapter 2, if you're there, say amen. 1 Peter 2, let's go to verse number 1, and he says this. He says, "So get rid of all evil behavior that's connected to your flesh. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk." What kind of milk? Okay, so look, we're talking about the spirit, right? So he says, what kind of milk? The spiritual milk, right? So that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Did you get that? So that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Now, let me just encourage you right here. Make sure that you get grown up. I know y'all may not like the way that I said that, but make sure you grow up, spiritually speaking, praise God. Amen. It's a terrible thing to have a church full of fleshly, carnal Christians. Now, watch this. It's okay to have a church full of fleshly, carnal Christians for about 6 months. Amen. But don't be 50 years old, still living in the flesh, trying to perfect what God begun in the spirit by living it out in your flesh, praise God. At some point, you got to become a man and a woman, and you got to crucify that flesh. You got to put it under your feet and begin to live in the victory that God purchased for you on the cross, praise God. Amen. 50 years in the kingdom and still running around, sleeping around, lying and cheating and hating on people, and don't know why God's not blessing you in your life. Amen. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. You don't need tongues and interpretation to understand why your life is messed up. Look in the mirror. Amen. Get yourself together. One of the greatest days of my life, two great days of my life that the Lord revealed to me. Number one, he showed me whenever I was 25 years old that I was a 15-year-old kid trapped in a 25-year-old man's body. Amen. And it's sad to say that many of our men are that way, because the second revelation he gave me, they don't accept this other part, and that is becoming responsible for your choices. Amen. So let me give you a little hint. Everybody say, give it to me. If you do something wrong, go make it right. If you lie to somebody, go tell them you lied to them. If you cheated somebody, go tell them that you cheated them. I need a good amen right there, because that's just good Christian living, right? Now watch this. Now here's the principle that comes out of that. If you commit yourself to go tell every person you lied to that you lied to them, every person you cheated that you cheated them, every person that you mistreated that you mistreated, if you'll make a commitment to do that, you will stop doing the wrong, because you don't want to have to go to them and tell them what you did. Amen? And it's just something about getting yourself together. It's something about growing up. And he tells us here, he says that we should desire the pure spiritual milk so that we will grow into the full experience of our salvation. Cry out for the nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, verse number 4, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Verse number 5, and you, everybody say me, are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Amen. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Amen? So he says that in this thing called the kingdom of God, that you are spiritual in that kingdom. He says that you are spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And that this endeavor and this journey that we have in the kingdom of God is really a spiritual journey. Amen? Come on, go with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I am spiritual. I am spiritual, praise God. And that's one of the things that we have to continually come back and remind ourselves of, that the church is a spiritual entity. Amen? I don't want to call it a spiritual institution, because it's not an institution. It's a spiritual people. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, and let's go to verse number 17. Our verse number 18, and let's start there. And really, Ephesians 2 is such a beautiful chapter, but we're going to read just a few verses here. Verse number 18, if you're there, say amen. Now he says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. Now let's go back. He's laying out a process for us here. He says, now all of us, how many of us can do what? Come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So there was an issue between God and man. Adam created that issue. Jesus, he comes in and he takes care of the issue through his death, burial, and resurrection. Then the Holy Spirit comes, so that it's through the Holy Spirit, because of what Christ has done, that we have access to the Father. You understand that? It's through the Holy Spirit, because of what Christ has done, that we have access to the Father. Let me take you here. It's, I don't want to say that. It's through your vehicle, because of the gasoline in the tank, that you got to church today. You understand that? It's through the Holy Spirit, because of what Christ did, that we have access to the Father. Amen? So you have to do this thing in the Spirit, because Jesus has already done what he's done. So it's through the Holy Spirit that I get access to the Father. Amen? Now, if we miss that, then we break down the process of coming to the... I can just go to the Father anytime I want to. You can in the Spirit, but you can't in the natural. Amen? Now watch what it goes on to say here in verse number 19. He says, so now you Gentiles, referring to us, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family, and together, everybody say together, we are his house. So listen to me. We are really a house meeting in a house. You get it? We are a house. We are a house that's meeting in a house. And so watch this. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So God doesn't live in here. He lives in here. Amen? Now that makes sense whenever he would tell David and he would tell Solomon. He says, how can you with your hands build me a house? Amen? He says, what kind of thing can you build that can hold me, contain me, that I can come and dwell in? He said, I'm too big for anything you can make. That's why he told Israel, he says, look, don't you go out into the woods and get you a piece of wood, whittle on it a little while, and think that looks like me. Because how can you describe me? If you really understood who I was, you would understand there's nothing you can make that would represent how awesome our God really is. But yet, watch this. But yet, God decides to live in a temple not made with hands. And that temple not made with hands is something that the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? That he knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb, praise God. What God was doing was making a vessel that he could dwell in and be with you, in you, and through you, praise God, in your life. Amen? And there's a part down on the inside of that God says belongs to him. I can remember that part of my life so much. I remember whenever my oldest daughter was born with cleft lip, cleft palate. You know that. Okay, I'm going to say that. Lord, John 14, 1 says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, for I go away to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there also. That word place is translated as mansions, meaning that there's many, many, many rooms in this place. And everybody know that a room has a door to it. Jesus says over in Revelations, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? Referring to your heart. So let me say this to you, that in your life, there's many, many rooms, but they all have doors. And you have to be willing to open up those doors to the Lord so that he can not only come into the foyer, but he can make his way into the living room. He can make his way into the den. He can even make his way further into your life, but you have to be willing to trust him so that you can open up the door to him. Now, here's why I say you got to trust him. You have to trust him because whenever the Lord shows up in your life, listen to me, I said this the other day, and I'll say it again here today. We're having a great study on Wednesday night. Can I get my Wednesday night people say amen? We're having a great study on Wednesday night. And here's one of the things I said about Wednesday night, because we're talking about spiritual gifts. I said, don't talk to me about your spiritual gifts until you can show your spiritual fruit. Amen? Don't come around talking about how good you can lay hands people and they get delivered and casting out devils. And that seems to be all that we talk about, but then there's no spiritual fruit in There's nothing there that says that you love people, care about people who God really cares about. And even Jesus says, he says, yeah, there's going to be some that come to me in the last days, and they're going to say, look, Lord, we cast them out in your name, and we did this in your name, and we did that in your name. And he'll says, you need to depart from me because I never knew you, because you didn't know how to walk in love. And this is what I mean whenever I say this, is that whenever the Lord shows up, what he's doing in your life, he's coming after you. Amen? And the reason you have to learn how to trust him is because he's coming after some stuff that you really like in your life. And he's saying that me and you and that thing can't be in the same place at the same time. And he's asking you to give some stuff up. He's asking you to give up your rage. He's asking you to give up your hate. He's asking you to give up all the turmoil that you got in your life. He's asking you to give up some addictions and some bondages in your life, because he says, I come to give life and that more abundantly. He's not there to hurt you. He's there to help you, praise God. But sometimes we like to hold on to our pain, even though if it's painful, because we've come to understand that I'm comfortable with the pain that I understand. And if this Jesus shows up and he goes to knocking on the wrong door, he may introduce a pain to me that I'm not familiar with. So I'll keep the door closed so that I can stay with the dysfunction that I already know. Amen. And then we just end up going through year after year, cycle after cycle, and we become like the children of Israel that were lost in the wilderness because they just kept going around the same mountain year after year, and we keep seeing the same results, and we keep ending, living the same life, not really understanding why. And all we have to do is realize that we just haven't trusted Jesus with some sacred places in our life. Amen? And you got to be willing to trust the Savior. You got to be willing to open up your whole life to him. Amen? And I can remember whenever my daughter was born with the health issues that she had. And what was significant to me at that time in my life was, number one, I'd never had anything real serious happen to me. So I was just living life, having fun, young man, no trouble, no drama. I didn't think about anything, just having a good time. And then in a delivery room, in a moment, whenever they took her out, and here she was, and I saw this hole that was in her lip because of cleft palate and cleft lip, and I was just devastated. I had never encountered something like that in my life before, and I didn't know how to respond to it. And immediately, life had gotten bigger than me. Can I have an amen? You have those times in your life where life gets bigger than you. I didn't know what to do. But because Mama, right? Merle Haggard died the other day. But Mama tried. Some of y'all will get that here in just a little bit, right? But because Mama made sure I went to church, I didn't learn much at church. It wasn't that I never didn't believe in God. I always believed in God. I just didn't see how God related to my life. He didn't want me having no fun. I was all about having some fun. Amen? And so I went ahead and had my fun and said, we'll get back together some other time, God. But going to church had taught me one thing, and that is whenever you get into enough trouble, God is the one you go to. Amen? And I can remember that I slipped out of that room, out of that delivery room, made my way down to a bathroom, and it was a single thing. Only one person could go in at a time. And I can remember that I went, opened that door, closed it behind me, and I locked the door. And right there in a sink in a bathroom in a hospital over on 290 and 1960 area over there, I knelt down on one knee because that's all I knew how to do. And I said, God, she needs to live. Now, you have to understand, this is the first time I've ever prayed in my life. I said, God, she needs to live. And whatever you need to do to make that happen, I'm asking you to do that. And then I made the mistake of trying to bargain with God. God, if you'll do that, then I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop this, and I'll quit that, and I'm going to get myself together, and I'm going to do these other things because I really want her to live. Now, listen to me whenever I say this. I was genuine. I was sincere in my prayer. Didn't know how to pray. Nobody had ever taught me to pray. But as the Word says, in the day of trouble, they will call upon my name. Amen? Thank God that God doesn't get offended whenever you're going through. He don't hear nothing from you for 20 years. And then one day it's raining in your life, and all of a sudden you're knocking on his door. What I didn't realize had happened was that whenever I went to the Lord, he saw the condition of my heart. And while I promised him a number of things, within 2 weeks of my promises, I had broken all the promises. But God stayed connected to me. And I can remember that it started this way. The way that it started for me was like a... Let me just say it this way. that whenever a couple weeks later, even though I had went back to doing the things I was doing, I had this little weight on my shoulder. And this little weight that was on my shoulder was like, I'm still here. I know you in places you told me you wasn't going to go to, but I'm still here. A couple of months later, you know, I still got that weight, but it's gotten a little bit bigger now. Not only am I still here, but I got something for you. You made a mistake of coming to a God who don't quit, even though you quit. You made a mistake of coming to a God who loves you while you was doing all that wrong stuff. So you're still doing it now doesn't affect me at all, because I loved you whenever you didn't even care about me. Somebody say amen. And then a little bit later, let's just go, another year and a half later. Come here, Hannah. Another year later, right? I still am not living the way I need to live, but the weight has gotten bigger. Not only do I love you, not only do I have something for you, but I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. And the weight kept getting bigger. 2 years into the thing, the weight had gotten so heavy in my life that I couldn't sleep at night. I'm laying in bed, and all I can see is Jesus, Jesus. And my eyes are closed, and I'm like, Lord, I got to sleep tonight. I got to go to work in the morning. Please just let me have a little bit of rest. And I would see this billboard saying, Jesus, Jesus, until finally one night I slipped out of my bed because I couldn't sleep. I slipped out of my bed and got on two knees. And I said, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know why you won't leave me alone, and I really don't have anything to offer you. But if you want me, you got me. I can't run from you no more. The weight's gotten too heavy in my life. I can't run from you no more. So whatever you want to do in my life, I'm saying yes. And in that moment, all of those things I had promised him 2 years ago left my life just like that. Hadn't even touched them again. Can't even tell you what they tasted like, smelled like, or anything in my life, praise God. And I wouldn't trade my 26 years with Jesus for anything or anybody. You got to trust him, though. You got to trust him. You got to depend that he's working this thing out in your life, praise God. Amen? Because we have to understand, church, that the church was birthed out of a spiritual experience. Amen? Come on, go with me to Luke. Go with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And look what he says here. He says in verse number 49, if you're there, say amen. He says in verse number 49, he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But he says, stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and he fills you with power from heaven. Now, what does he do? He fills you with what? Power from heaven. Now, go with me over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And really, you're going to see Jesus saying the same thing here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right? So go with me to Acts chapter 2. And this is where I wanted to get to. Is that, watch this. So Jesus, he's been crucified on Passover. Right? And then so he stays with the apostles for a certain amount of days. And then there in Acts chapter 1, if you read up a little bit or down a little bit more, you'd have found that he ascended. Amen. And he went to the Father, and in Hebrews 8, 9, 10, 11 tells us what he's doing there in heaven right now for us. Amen. And so now he's left his disciples here to do something for him while he's in heaven doing something for us. It's exactly how the Bible says that. So then here's what we need to understand is that if he's there doing something for us, that means that we should be there. But he's there on our behalf, leaving us here to do something for him, which is really, to be honest with you, continuing on the ministry of Jesus. The ministry that he started, we are here fulfilling that ministry. Can I get an amen? If you go back a little bit, you can read that the first time Jesus ever did a miracle was after he was, if I could say it this way, after the Holy Spirit came on him. Amen? You see where he came down and was baptized, had done no miracles up until that point. And it wasn't until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And that's why Peter says in Acts chapter 10, he said, and whenever he's talking to Cornelius, he said, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. Amen? So what Jesus did, he didn't do through his divinity as the Son of God. He did it through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so out of anything that he could have done, out of any first act, everybody say first act. Do you know that the first act is always the important one? What you do first after an event is very important in setting the tone for the rest of the events. Amen? So watch this. Out of anything he could have done, the first thing he did was send the Holy Spirit. Amen? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all of the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present, how many? Everyone present was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Can I get an amen? Amen. So it tells us here that everyone that was present was filled with the Holy Spirit and they began speaking with other tongues or in another language. Amen? Now watch this. We're a church full of people who come from different places and different backgrounds. But let me tell you this today, is that number one, the first thing that God the Father did through Jesus Christ was send the Holy Spirit. The church needs the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit birthed the church in Acts chapter 2. We cannot do what we want to do apart from the Holy Spirit. I need a really good amen right there. Amen? And so he birthed the Holy Spirit, and it says that they began as a result of that speaking in other languages. Now, people today can hate speaking in tongues. You can hate it if you want to, but let me tell you this. The whole of the New Testament was written by men who spoke in tongues. So that's what it says right there, amen, that they began to speak in another language. Now watch this. So let me just stop and say this to you this morning. Being spiritual does not mean being spooky or weird. Amen? Being spiritual doesn't mean to be spooky or weird. There's what people do with what they think they read, and they start acting all kind of crazy, right? And they act all kind of weird. And then people will draw a judgment on what a few people do and say, I can't be a part of that because of what they're doing. Look, don't judge the Word of God by other people. Amen? Don't judge what they're doing because you don't know, they may really be crazy. Amen? And you're looking at their craziness thinking, and they're saying God's making them crazy, but that's not the case. God don't make people crazy. Amen? So here's what I'm saying, is that as a believer, you have to open yourself up to understand that, number one, first, you're spiritual. And the first act that God committed whenever he birthed the church was to send the Holy Spirit. And could it be that the church is suffering in America today because we won't allow the Holy Spirit to come through the doors like we let people come through the doors? We want to keep the Holy Spirit outside because, after all, it may get weird or spooky. Watch this. Go ahead and come on in, Holy Spirit. If somebody gets spooky or weird, we'll ask them to leave, but you can stay. I could have run around and tore my hair out of my head right there, right? I come up in a church where they got weird. I came up in a church where they got sweet, and they called it the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you what, the Holy Ghost is not weird. Because look what it goes on to say here in verse number 14. Drop down there with me in verse number 14. It says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. And look what he says. I think this is interesting. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. So he's not saying they can't get drunk. Just don't do it before 9 in the morning. I know. That just knocked out 2/3 of y'all in here right now. So verse number 16. Now what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days. In what? God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants and men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth below. Let me go back and say this to you in verse number 17. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's what God has done. He's poured out his spirit on people who are spiritual. Amen? Now look what it says over here in verse number 37. So verse number 37, this is after Peter has preached the message. And then the Bible tells us here in verse 37, Peter's words pierced their heart. They were convicted. And they said to him, and they said to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Verse 38 says this, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This promise is to you, to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by our Lord God. Amen? So it's God's will for you to have the Holy Spirit, because that's how he's moving in the last days. Is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, I got one place for you to go to. Go. I know I'm out of time, y'all. I know I'm out of time. I'm going to get done. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Everybody say it's the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this is a series that we just finished. And that's where this series is coming from, is really out of this part of our old series. Look what it says here in verse number 7. It says the old way, 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 7, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Right? Verse number 8, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? Amen? Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life. Watch this. I am very interested in this part right here. The new way, now that the Holy Spirit is what? I want to know what that life is. I want to discover the spiritual life that I have with God. Can I get a better amen? I don't want a carnal experience with God. I don't want a soulish experience with God. I want a spiritual experience with God. Amen? And that's how he's moving in these last days. He says in verse number 10, he says, in fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which had been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, and they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. I don't want to take time to explain all of that. I'm trying to get somewhere here. Verse 15, and even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts were covered with the veil, and they do not understand. Verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? There is freedom. There's freedom in worship. The best worship you can ever get into in your life is whenever you stop worrying about what other people are thinking about while you're singing. Amen? Let me give you a secret. Do you want a secret? Do you know that you spend most of your time thinking about what other people think about you? Only to get a revelation that all they're thinking about is they're thinking about what you're thinking about them. And they're not really thinking about you at all. So if they're not thinking about you at all, why do you worry about what they think whenever you worship God? I've been in some places in my life where I had to cut loose in a service because I needed to get me some victory, praise God. I needed to get my dance on and my praise on and my shout on and my holler on and all of my other stuff on because I had to come out of the pit that I was in. Amen. Amen. I have found out that dwelling in pits don't serve me at all. They don't serve the Lord at all. But the Bible tells me that I can put on that garment of praise to get rid of that spirit of heaviness, praise God. Amen. And what happens in that worship is I get myself out of the way and I begin to get my spirit to commune with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to commune with my spirit. And all of a sudden this heaviness that's on my life just begins to lift. All because I began to worship God without regard of what other people thought about me. Unless you're going to pay my bills, I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God, because he's the one who can meet me in my hour of need, praise God. Can I get a good amen? And he says, so all of us, verse 18, who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him, and we are changed into his glorious image. One last place. Toto, come back up if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. One last place in Scripture. And I'm just going to take you, to verse 39. I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but it's a beautiful chapter. Amen. But he tells us here, he gives us the story starting in verse number 32. He says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long. And then he talks about, it would take too long about all these great things that these people in the Bible did by using their faith. And then he comes down to verse number 39 and he says this, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Amen? All of them had not received all that God had promised. Verse 40, for God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Didn't Jesus tell them, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until the promise comes, which was the promise of the Holy Spirit? Amen? Listen to me. I appreciate Moses. I appreciate the way that David praised God. I appreciate the wisdom of Solomon. I appreciate the faith of Abraham. But I'm not trying to live a life to go back to what they had, because the Bible says what they had was incomplete. Because God left something out of them so that whenever we showed up, he could give us what they were looking for. The promise of the Holy Spirit, which is this, what the Old Testament believers had in their life. The Spirit of God was still there, because the Spirit of God was at the beginning and he was before the beginning. But the way that they experienced the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit would come on them and they would fellowship with God by the Holy Spirit being on them. Everybody say on them. And the Bible says that they died looking for what we have. Our experience is that we don't have God or the Holy Spirit on us. Amen? What we have and the experience that we have been promised, and he says here, it's the perfection, it's the completion, is that we have the Holy Spirit in us. I hope y'all caught that right there. I hope y'all just maybe saw that for just a moment. I don't want what Moses has. Moses wants what I have. I don't need what Abraham has. Abraham wanted what I have. So if we have something better than what they have, ought we not to praise God in a different way? Ought not we be more intense and more in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing? Because we now have the God of the universe living on the inside of us, and we have become a habitation for the Spirit of God. Can I get a good amen? So listen to me, whenever we worship God, you worship God as though you are the temple of God, because you are the temple of God. Amen. Come on, give him a hand this morning. Praise God. Amen. I'm over my time, and I'm not surprised by that. That happens from time to time. But let me pray. Toto, if you would, let me pray. Let's bow our heads for just a moment here this morning. Father God, we thank you today for your word. We understand that we can do nothing spiritual apart from the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we're opening our hearts. We're opening our minds. We're opening everything about us up to you. No doors closed, no doors locked, nothing within us that we want to hold on to that you're asking us to give up, to walk away from, and to lay down. We're not wanting to walk out this spiritual life in the flesh. It's not our desire to know everything in the world but miss what the Holy Ghost is doing. It's our desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. You said that if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in our mortal bodies, that we would be the sons and the daughters of the living God. And we're asking you today, Father God, that while we may not know everything about living in the Spirit, about discovering the spiritual life, what we're asking for today, Father, is that we're wanting to go deeper. We're wanting to get into a deeper place with you. We're wanting to see a generation rise up that, Father God, that has been touched by the Spirit of God and that is going out in the power of the same Holy Spirit that touched the apostles and the disciples in Acts chapter 2, we realize that we can do nothing without you. And so we're opening and we're saying, yes, Lord, come in and take everything. Live in every room and in every place and empower your people to do the impossible in the day and the generation that we live in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hand to the Lord right there and say, Lord, that's me. I want to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for me today. I don't want to be halfway filled. I don't want to be moderately filled, but I want to be filled to overflowing, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And we seek to be filled with your Spirit, that we can live, walk, move, and have our being in the Holy Ghost, praise God, in Jesus' name. And I'm asking you today, Holy Spirit, to empower your people, to fill your people, to anoint your people, that if you cause the Old Testament saints to die without having received everything, our commitment is to walk into everything that you have for us, because you've made that available to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for your joy. Oh, I just sense an anointing of the Holy Spirit here right now. Father, I ask you by the power of the Spirit to break off the chains, destroy the dysfunction. Take everything that's held people in bondage and break it because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and let there be a people who rise up in freedom, who rise up in power. Indeed, we're asking this from a sincere heart. We're asking this, Father God, from a place of saying, Lord, we need you more than we need anything else in the world. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do the will of the Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen.